WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Thank you for tuning in to 9.7 The Capsule. My name is Brady Durgan. I'm joined here with my co-host, Dylan Brooks and Connor Rolls. And this is the student section. How are you boys doing tonight?
I'm doing quite swell, as always. I mean, there's nothing to complain about with the whole city of Philadelphia going absolutely berserk right now.
I'm also on the Philly train, so I'm also happy for that, but I'm also happy to be back. Missed you guys last week, but you guys held it down.
We missed you too, for sure. I, at Celtics fan, I'm also happy. You can see we beat the city of Philadelphia. It was very exciting. We love to beat Philly whenever we get the chance.
All right. It's early, but we'll see what happens in the playoffs.
So there was some big news yesterday in the NFL with a blockbuster trade. Christian McCaffrey was traded to the Carolina Panthers to the 49ers. And the 49ers were sending a second, third, fourth round pick in 2023 and then a fifth round pick in 2024. Was this an overpay?
Actually, that's a tough one because that contract for Christian McCaffrey is terrible. I would have said it's an underpay. I mean, not getting a first round pick for one of the best running backs in the NFL is not a great package to receive.
Did you mean they were?
I thought they were going to get a first
running backs are hard to trade for. I think I was saying something earlier, so like running backs are such a demand for them because the time is so short.
Yeah,
odds are Christian McCaffrey in, let's say, two or three seasons probably isn't still on this team. I want to say this feels like a very much so win now trade by the 49ers.
It is.
I feel like, see, I'm gonna have to actually take a different approach because I actually believe I think he's gonna stay in because he's from the California area. He's back home, so I think this might be he's gonna stay here for a while. And I do believe it's a win right now move, but I also just think it's also kind of long term too because, like you mentioned earlier, they don't. I think one of their first round picks went to the Dolphins, if I'm not mistaken. I'll have to double check. But also, you have to send everything else out. They give the Panthers everything. Jimmy G, you lost Trey Lance for the year. Jimmy G, he can't do everything by himself. Christian McCaffrey is just so versatile as a weapon, and I think it's gonna make his life so much easier. But I also think this is a big move for Trey Lance because I think this is gonna be a huge help for his development next year because there's a lot of question marks about Trey Lance and how raw he is as a quarterback. But I think not only is it gonna help Jimmy G, but once they move on from Jimmy G and Trey Lance is ready to go, I think this is gonna help Trey Lance looking himself.
Yeah, I do agree with that. But you said Jimmy G can't do everything by himself. How much help does he need? He has Kyle Shanahan, one of the best offensive minds in the NFL. You have Deebo Samuel, who is a weapon.
Do it all weapon. Yes. He has everything for that team.
George Kittle, who's a top three tight end in the league.
Best pass blocking tight end, too.
And you have Trent Williams, who is the best left tackle. And their defense is amazing. Probably one of the best in the league. And their O-line is also one of the best in the league. I don't know if you can just say Jimmy G needs more.
One of the things when you talk about the 49ers is like the two biggest questions. One of the biggest question marks is always the quarterback, whether it's Jimmy G or Trey Lance. I just think you can never go wrong with adding more weapons. And I think, like you said, this is a winner now move, so they're having the Rams mentality, like just forget everything.
F them picks.
Great. But yeah, exactly that. That's the way they're approaching it. So I think it's a good trade for them. I don't think it's too much. And plus, I think with all the rumors about, the narrative around McCaffrey just being injury, I think that also lowers his value. But I don't believe that. I personally don't believe McCaffrey's injury prime. I think that was just in 2 years. Carolina just shut him down early because they were trying to tank. I kind of feel like it's kind of like an Embiid situation where when Embiid first came out, there was a lot of, hey, he's injury prone, but really they were just being super very cautious. But now, more so than later, he's being injury prone, so that's a different discussion. But I think it's a good trade.
You guys think that the 49ers still make this trade if they win the game against the Falcons this weekend? Or was this a result of the disappointing loss to the Falcons?
I think they still make the trade because you look at it, they had a lot of injuries coming into that game. Mm-hmm. So I still think they make that trade.
And you always look at one thing they've always done for basketball season is you've always been trying to work with that running back position, whether it's bringing in Trey Sermon or Elijah Mitchell.
They've been bringing a lot of different guys. They've been trying to fill that hole for a while.
Jeff Wilson Jr. Like, they just keep rotating. I think this will definitely put an end to all that. as well. But I think you got to take one of the things. I don't think this trade is so bad. Is they got extra picks. They lost Robert Saleh to the New York Jets. They lost Mike McDaniels. They lost Martin Mayhem, who's the GM of the Commanders. So because of the new rule implemented last season that was suggested by the Philadelphia Eagles, each time I think someone in your front office or head coaching staff, they leave, and after you make the playoffs or something, you get an extra third-round pick. Mm-hmm. So they got three third-round picks, but the rule is you get two. So they really have six. So they had six third-round picks. They have six bonus third-round picks for the upcoming season. So
they have the capital.
Yeah.
They have the facilities to make this play. They're simply taking advantage.
Exactly.
Of what they have.
Exactly. So great start for them, and especially taking advantage of that new rule. And you got to thank the Eagles for coming up with that one. So. Well, that's only because the reason the Eagles came over there, just to add some insight, is because their director of scouting, right after the draft, or right before the draft, he left and took the Steelers' assistant GM position. So they were left without their head scout before the draft.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. There was some extra drama in the NFL last night as well. There was Kyler Murray. There was a video going with him and Cliff Kingsbury on the sideline, seemingly yelling at each other. It wasn't. While D-Hop did play well, I feel like that game as a whole highlighted some tension between the quarterback and the coach that's kind of been brewing for a while, I feel like. I remember there was a story in preseason where Kyler Murray was, calling plays.
Play caller, yeah.
Play calling for the offense, which I feel like was kind of like the things where kind of like, see, look how hard my job is. I feel like isn't the mentality I want my coach to have with my quarterback.
Exactly.
You know, I feel like it just highlighted some issues between them. What did you guys think about that?
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about Kyler Murray. I think he's a good quarterback, but I do think there's some attitude issues with him. There's been multiple times where I'm like, he doesn't really look like the great locker room guy you'd expect. You just look at him, he likes to bicker with his players a lot if there's a mistake. He doesn't really like to put it on himself a lot. You can tell he doesn't really watch that much film, so it's definitely worrisome about that. But Cliff Kingsbury is also something to worry about. I mean, he's had some bright spots so far in his NFL career, but there's been also a lot of times where I'm like, is he really fit for an NFL coach?
So this is my take on this. I honestly don't think the Cardinals are going to. I don't think the Cardinals are going to keep Kingsbury after this season.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons I believe that is because Kyler Murray, I actually kind of agree with you saying I don't think he's a great leader or locker room, but I also
say that. But I think in the video of last night, he was trying to tell Cop him that hey, Cliff, we're good. In delivery, he was saying Kyle Murray was saying hey, we're good. While he's yelling at the team, and Kyler, I think, was trying to step in and say, hey, we're good. Let the offense run.
That's what I think so too. I think he was also just really tired of Cliff. Calling timeouts. He was like, why are you keep calling all these timeouts? Mm-hmm. Like, it's ruining the offensive flow, like you said. But to my point, I think Kyler Murray's not that great of a locker room guy, and he's kind of I'm not going to say he's not a bad locker room guy. I want to say he's a passive aggressive guy. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So someone who's going to say the right things, but he's subtly.
He's thinking of
Yeah, exactly.
Ulterior motive.
Exactly, but I think Cliff has to go, because I think Kyler Murray is a good quarterback. I think we see it. We can all see the potential, but I think they need a new coach in place to make Kyler push to that next level. I think Kyler wants to be pushed, because I also believe Kyler's just tired of his narrative. I think if how personal,
A lot of it feels pass aggressive on the Cardinals front.
It's both sides, really.
I feel like they're kind of saying, hey, Kyler, look how hard our job is. Look, you have to put the work in too. It's kind of assuming he's not doing it.
Yeah, and it's a weird marriage that's going on. And I don't know how long that's going to work out. But I will say, if there was a moment for them to make a run, it would be after a moment like that last night. Because I think that's kind of something, because when you're close with someone, or you have arguments like that, you're trying to figure things out together and you're communicating. But also, if you watch that clip, would a head coach when the player's yelling at you like that, if you're a real like head coach, are you just gonna say nothing? And like, or are you gonna like yell back at them too? I'm saying, is he taking the friend approach, or is he taking the coach approach?
It's always a tough side because you look at it. These NFL players are men, and like I get like the whole coaching as like a college coach, a high school coach, where like you're enforcing their will, you're telling them what to do.
Right.
But at this point in the NFL, they're all grown men. I don't know if like. Plus, Cliff Kingsbury's a really young coach, so there might be players older than him on that roster. So it's like a kind of a weird little, like, I want to say, gap between what you can and can't do.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but is that because of that leave him without respect to the players? Because they see him at, like in their age and like not as a, like, a older figure?
I think it's all about like the way you feel.
Yeah.
Like, in a way. Like, Bill Belichick, when I was like, I don't see Bill Belichick yell at his players, like, in like, when he like yells at his players, he's like very serious,
yeah.
Like about the way he's like. Cliff seemed like angry, and like there's a lot more like emotion behind what he's saying. But also, he's very stoic in the way he yells at them. He yells at them, and he would like put them on the bench, and then he's like done with them. That's all he does. I feel like this was like felt very.
Well, that's what. But also, like Belichick, he has job security.
Yeah,
Cliff,
he does.
And like, if you were to be a betting man, like. He's going to be there longer at the end of this, like Kyler or Cliff.
I'd say Kyler.
It has to be Kyler. Because
you paid him enough.
The whole rebuild is like looking for the right quarterback. You can't waste that because the quarterback doesn't get along with the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see. But they ended up winning, and winning cures everything. So we'll see how deep they make a run.
I don't know if they won or the Saints defeat themselves because Andy Dalton. That little stretch within that minute of him throwing two pick sixes, that's bad. It was Isaiah Simmons and Marco Wilson. So I mean, that was the Saints are such an hard place right now because I think they have a lot of talent, but they're so injury prone.
Do you think because they don't have the draft pick? What do you have in finishing? I'm just curious because the Eagles have their draft pick, and right now I think as of last night they were projected. Actually, I have it right here.
The fourth overall pick.
Yeah, it's so number one's the Panthers. They're ahead of the Texans by half a game, and you have the Raiders, Detroit, Saints, which goes to the Eagles, and the Texans, and then the Texans again, which is, I believe is one of the Browns.
It's such a weird spot to be. They don't have a young quarterback. It's like, see what the Eagles can do. They can't tank. To get the quarterback because we don't have the draft pick. So this season is definitely like a limbo season where it's like there's just no direction. The Browns like put out their players and like whatever happens happens.
It seems like their swagger is kind of down a little bit too.
Yeah, it does. They don't look like they're wanting to win or wanting to play like that.
There's like a lack of passion like you're used to seeing from the Saints. But
all right, so before we go to break, let's get through our locks, the upsets real quick. Tom, you want to go first?
Yes, I will. My lock for the week is going to be the Bucks over Panthers, and I think that's pretty obvious.
Panthers is great, C-Mac, and team kind of off. The offense at least is nothing else.
Yeah, the Panthers, I mean, I think Baker Mayfield's hurt, Sam Donald is hurt, so you got, what's his name, P.J. Walker starting, no CMC, no Robbie Anderson, they're done for. My upset, though, this is a surprise to me, too, because the Jags are favorites in this game, so I got the Giants over the Jags. I don't know how you can have the 5-1 Giants underdogs against a 2-4 Jaguars, but give me the Giants on this one. They just look impressive.
Yeah, they're doing well, impressive. That's why we'll get to that later. But I'm Dave Wallace, coach of the year. But so my upset, I guess, I want to go with the Jets or the Broncos. I think if I'm not mistaken, the Jets are 4-2.
Yeah,
their defense is really good. I mean, Quentin Williams, he's having that good year. Their offense still needs a little bit of work, like I'm sure you guys heard about. What's with all these Jets receivers requesting trades? You got Denzel Mims, and now you got Elijah Moore. They've only been on the team for like 2 years at most.
They're already sick of Jets.
Yeah. Like they're already tired of it. So
these Catholics are already like 4-2. It feels like winning, but
yeah,
like now they're winning. Like the Jets are finally winning.
I know.
Now your core receivers want out, and then like you hit on your rookie running back, Breece Hall, who's turning into like a real staple. Your offense, and but anyway, Jets over Broncos, and then for my lock, I'm gonna go Chargers over Seahawks.
Okay. My lock for the week: Patriots over Bears. think Max will be back there saying the Bears, Justin Fields is an awful season so far. You can make the argument he's been one of the worst starting quarterbacks in the league. And Bill Belichick just eats apart those kind of quarterbacks.
Yep.
And then my upset, I'm going to go with the Lions over the Cowboys. I think the Lions' explosive offense kind of outsets the Cowboys' defense a little bit. I think they're going to put up big numbers, and I think the Cowboys' offense is going to be able to keep up with that.
That's an interesting
one.
I think the Cowboys are going to be upset from last week, and I think they're going to try to send a message to it.
Yeah, you were saying that high-power offense. I mean,
is Swift playing?
I think he might be, but you look at the game against the Patriots, and they put up a few sacks.
You have to look like this spin 90.7, but you look like it'd be like that.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Fabi was not here last week, and Connor and I did our picks from the NBA. Jalen, why don't you get right into us and give us your picks?
I appreciate it. Yeah. So I wasn't here last week, at a wedding, so quick shout out to a couple of congratulations. But let's get into my awards. So before we get into the NBA, I'm going to start off with my NFL. So for my offensive rookie of the year, I'm going with Breece Hall. I think when you look at what Breece Hall has been doing, especially for that Jets team, I mean, how many of us would be sitting here right now thinking of going into like week 8 and the Jets were 4-2? And the way he's carried this team, especially when Zach Wilson was out, when Joe Flacco was there, the way he was just the short passes, the way he was running the ball, I mean, he held it down until Zach Wilson got back. Now he's moved up, and like, if you're playing fantasy, he's now considered an RB2. That's how good he's been. I'm going with Breece Hall.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good pick.
What I like about him is that I feel like his work on his really good season.
Right.
I believe I feel like he, by any season, he's just a great
man. Exactly. That's really good. And it sucks that you have Michael Carter Jr., but you have Breece Hall. Congratulations. So that brings me to the defensive rookie of the year. You can make a case. You can go back-to-back Jets here. Gardner looks insane. Looks good. He's rocking that cheese head after that win.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, so much.
He's streaming after that game. He's still got the cheese head in the background. It's like you just love this guy's energy and his trash talk.
He's got some swag too.
Yeah,
like he knows he's so good. He's got the game to back it up, which like you love to see.
And he's also just like a great person, so it's like it's easy to get behind him.
And like just another thing that just makes it so funny, he just gets lost. Like, I don't know if you guys ever seen that draft video before he doesn't know.
Yeah, I saw that.
Hilarious. And then when they beat the Packers and he took the cheese head, he was headed into the wrong state, like the wrong side. And he just doesn't know where to go. Like, I just,
he's so easy to just like attach to a little bit.
Did you see
fan favorite
Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show?
What did he say?
They were talking about Pat McAfee asked Aaron Rodgers how did he feel about him wearing it. He was like, he deserved it. He kicked their butt, so he can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
I mean, so they won the game.
And it's just also just like, he's just so like big for like defensive.
He is big.
And like, I don't know. He's just one of those players. Like, good for the Jets. So yeah, both of my rookie of the year is good to them. But my other case, my honorable mention is going to be Kevin Thibodeau. I know he was out for a little bit, but the Giants' defense looks pretty big. So. I guess like another honorable mention to Devin Lloyd. I did like that suggestion to looking to come.
Yeah. So,
now for my defensive player of the year. As a Birds fan, it hurts me to say this. I do want to go with Gary Slay, but I really think Michael Parsons has just had a great year. I think his impact on that team, especially while Dak's been out. I don't know. I just think I know it doesn't look so great. I know coming right after that Eagles game, that was the most like unimpactful game he's probably ever had. The little pass breakup and then standing over Dallas Goedert and then just talking trash. That's how you knew that game was getting to him.
Yeah.
Like, a small play like that. But other than that, he's had a great year.
Yeah.
What about him is he's so versatile. Like, he like does so much good defense.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's had a great year so far, but with Lane Johnson on him, zero pressures, zero sacks. When he did lose the game, he only had three pressures, so against the Eagles are just looking great, but keep going.
Hey, I'm not going to, hey, no, you can keep talking all you want, go Birds. But, so yeah, I'm just going to go for that for my defense for the year. But all of them mentioned, I will, you know, Darius Slay, the best cornerback right now in the NFL, in terms of like just the numbers. So, but Michael Parsons gets it for me. For my offensive player of the year, I'm actually going to go with Jalen Hurts. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying this. Jalen Hurts has had a great year.
Yeah,
and
he has.
I don't think I even really have to explain it, to be honest, because, look, they're still undefeated. And you know, who, I don't think a lot of people were counting him out this year. I think a lot of people were counting him out this year. And he's just past everyone's expectation.
Another, it's like a proven year.
Exactly.
Kind of like whatever happens this year has got him the reputation, like going forward as a quarterback. And he definitely proved a lot of wrong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he's just like, I'm sure the Eagles are happy they don't have to spend like a that high pick on like a quarterback. But the reason I have him as an offensive player of the year is because I do not think people are going to give him the MVP. But I just think in the world of voters, there's no way they're going to give him to Hurts before Josh Allen.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
I think Josh Allen or Pat Mahomes is going to get this MVP before Jalen Hurts gets it. I think because, like you said, coming into this year was a proven year for Jalen Hurts. So, and if I, like I said, if I have to give it to the voters, I'm definitely going to expect them to pick Josh Allen before Jalen Hurts.
It does feel like the Josh Allen MVP is like bound to happen soon.
Yeah.
He's kind of like been on that trajectory, like growing as a quarterback. He's not kind of been like a staple, but yeah, has to be used in the past. It does feel like the voters are kind of, I would say, would lean towards Josh Allen as like this.
And plus the rivalry he's having with Pat Mahomes, that Bills and Chiefs rivalry. A lot of people are comparing it to Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, like type of cute, like classic.
I mean, you could say that, I feel like early on. It's so early. Like,
it really is.
That Brady Manning rivalry was like a long thing that like, lasted for years. So it's too. It, but it does give that like energy a little bit.
Yeah. They always get amped up.
Always that great game.
Exactly. But speaking of Josh Allen, just a quick like shout out for his teammate, Jordan Poyer. I just think he's also having a great year. Mm-hmm. He's a defensive player of the year. I don't know. Quick little tidbit. I just think he's so funny. He got a concussion, so he wasn't allowed to
play. Oh, yeah.
So he had to drive 12 hours.
Was it a concussion or was it a rib injury?
I know, you're right. It was a rib injury.
Yeah.
It was the air pressure. That's what they didn't want him to fly.
That's so weird.
But just to wrap it up, coach of the year, Brian Daboll. I just think he's done an amazing job with the Giants. And then I'm going to keep it sticking with the Giants. Comeback player of the year, Saquon, second in the league in rushing. He's doing a great year. Now, moving on to NBA. Now, one of my favorite subjects. I love the NBA, so this is going to be, I'll be quick with this. I'm going to go MVP, Luka. It just feels like it's bound to happen. I mean,
it is bound to happen.
I really wanted to say Joel Embiid, but like what we saw these first two games, he's also dealing with an injury right now, off to a slow start. Doesn't even look like he's kind of in shape right now, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And one thing that Luka really focused on this offseason was his conditioning and like working on like his eyes and everything, his stamina. So I'm gonna give it to Luka. Defensive player of the year, I'm just gonna keep it simple. I think Rudy Gobert is gonna be huge for that Timberwolves.
Overlapable.
Yep. I mean, hey.
You can choose what you want, but no matter what,
dominant first game.
Hate Rudy Gobert.
He had a dominant for Timberwolves.
It was a pretty good game. But I just think I mean, as much as I love Thibault, I just think until he shows some offense, it's going to be hard for him to get some clamps on defense because he's not going to get enough minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's been out of the sixth rotation.
We've still got 80 games, so we don't know.
We've still got time, but
yeah, I'm not going to get out of the rotation the whole season. I'm just saying the first time when coming out of camp,
he might not even be on the team by like all star break, if I'm being completely honest. But that's a conversation for a different day.
Mm-hmm.
So continuing on with this, my coach of the year is actually going to be Chauncey Billups from Portland Trailblazers. I think that's a team that's going to surprise a lot of people this year. Mm-hmm. They made a lot of good moves in the offseason, adding like Gary Payton from the Warriors, adding Jeremy Grant from the Nuggets. Nassir Little looked like he was really beginning to grow at the end of last season. You're getting Dame Lillard back, who's like been fighting through injury all these past couple of years. You got Shaedon Sharpe, your lottery pick, who's just who everyone says is, if you can put it all together,
free
he's a guy. Yeah.
He's a free guy. He's insane. He's played very little, like, organized high-level basketball in his career. He's very much still, like, a raw prospect, though.
Exactly.
But he's, like, crazy athlete and a great defender.
Yeah. And, like, so if they can just, like, teach him, get him to lock in, like, I'm high on him. And then Anthony Simon?
Yeah. Anthony Simon.
Anthony? Sorry, excuse me. But that being said, yeah, I'm just huge on him too. I think we talked about this. He might be an all-star one there.
Mm-hmm.
And most improved player, I'm actually going to go Franz Wagner. I think he had a really big offseason playing for the World Cup or,
Liga.
There you go. And I think he slept on too. I think he's going to be huge for them. And then rookie of the year, Jabari. I think he's going to keep it simple. I mean, not Jabari. I'm sorry. I took the wrong name.
Oh, my goodness. I thought I had someone who agreed with me.
Oh, sorry. Oh, my God. I didn't mean to do that to you.
Heartbreak.
Yeah, give me Paula for that. Give me Paula. Because he just looks like a guy.
He's not a grown man. Looks like
he has that body.
Already ready.
Yeah.
For the NBA.
So, and then six man. Malcolm Brogdon. I think you're getting Malcolm Brogdon off the bench and a healthy Malcolm Brogdon. That team's pretty scary. So, congrats to the Celtics.
We
love the Celtics. But speaking of the Celtics, so the Celtics and the Sixers play with the home opener. Celtics, it wasn't a close game, but it wasn't blood. It was kind of like an injury. The Celtics were kind of off by like 5 or more points, like the 30 or whatever. What did you guys, as Sixers fans, take away from their first two games, the Celtics and the Bucks?
Well, I think first thing you got to mention is James Harden looks better.
He is back.
It's only been two games, but I need to see this for 80 more games, and I hope his legs can stay up to date with that. But yeah, I mean James Harden looks great. The first game I think he made like 5 to 6 threes. That's another thing of concern. That's my other point. It looks like we're running the game through, or they're running the game through James Harden, rather the best player, which is Joel Embiid. But like I mentioned earlier, reports have come out that he's injured. But I'm not 0-2. I'm not worried yet. It's still early in the season, but I'm not excited right now because I thought I wanted to see us coming out fighting. Like, just like being on the same page. And it just doesn't look like we're there yet. And I know it's just going to be growing pains, but I don't want to have to wait another season or half a season for Joel Embiid to be injured.
So, like you were saying, Joel Embiid, he came off the injury offseason. He hurt his foot, so he wasn't able to condition the way he wanted to. So, yes, he has looked, I don't want to say miserable, but pretty miserable. During this last couple games because he wasn't able to get back on defense. He looks sloppy. He looks tired. But I'm expecting that to change. I mean, he always starts off slow. So you can expect for him to, like, get into shape later on in the season, and he will become the player we all know and love. Now, what I'm really excited about is James Harden. Last year, he looked slow. He looked old. He looked like he was washed. But so far this season, 35 points, and he dropped 31 against the Bucks. So he's looked back. He looks good. We have been in these games from halftime before. Like the Celtics game, it was tied at halftime. With the Bucks, Bucks game, it was a 13-point game with, like, I want to say, what was it, 8-6 minutes left?
Yeah.
And the Sixers came down. They tied it up. They actually took the lead for a second. Yeah, and then Tobias Harris ruined the game by biting too much and allowing a Wesley Matthews three. But
you know what scares me about that run? They did that run without
Joel Embiid.
Yeah. And so if you're doing that without your best player, I just think that raises some questions.
I'm not worried. I just want them to be able to move it out the ball.
That's what I was going to say. So my biggest concern with the Sixers so far has been kind of like overall movement of how their offense operates so far. Like Connor said, a lot of it's going through James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He's kind of being the ball dominant star that he's kind of been in the past, which I feel like wasn't necessarily the solution. Because obviously, everyone knows James Harden has the ball in his hand. He can make great things happen.
He's great,
yeah. But this Sixers offense, James Harden is not the best player on this offense. It is Joel Embiid.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So to me, it feels like a lot of this should be going through Joel Embiid, and that's how the offense works. Everyone should be moving off ball around Embiid. But when you put PJ Tucker and Tobias Harris in the court, two guys who just never cut. They never cut on the road. PJ Tucker just sits in the corner.
But I am thankful for like just you know not having corner threes for the years like since Dario Saric like I pronounced his name correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's like I'm so glad we have a corner three shooters.
I do too.
But I think a lot of great, like, they don't have a great offense. We do.
We don't have a lot of hitters.
It's very stagnant. Yeah.
Everyone has like their kind of like, their goal they like to play. You just kind of stay even with run. You don't kind of have to be in. Immediately modern basketball.
They usually wait for James Harden to ISO, or are they usually wait the post up draw until they get him and he waits for the double and he tries to skip past. You know, that's terrible.
He
did
not handle the double team very well.
No, well, his
ability normally works.
Towards the end of season last year, it looked like he had figured it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was, like, as soon as he caught it, because there's a sound clip on Anthony Edwards talking about Carl Anthony Towns, and he says the reason that makes the difference between him and Joel Embiid is because as soon as Joel Embiid catches it, he passes it because he knows the double team's coming, whereas Pat waits and then turns it over. So he has figured it out, but I just think he's so slow, he doesn't look engaged. But also, I want to see Tyrese Maxey more engaged. I like the fact that Harden can like move off.
I want to see the ball Maxey's
in. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They have him like, they used to do this pick and drop for JJ Redick at the top of the team, and now they're doing it for Maxey, which is nice because I think Maxey's faster and can beat players as a whole. But I just don't want to see that. I feel like Maxey's more capable. He's not JJ Redick. So he doesn't have the ball in his hands.
Yeah. So like if you're saying about Maxey, is like Maxey, he doesn't get the ball as much as I would like. I feel like a lot of it is iso ball, like you were saying. Nice screen, pick and rolls or pick and pop, he's really need a huge part of. But when Maxey does get the ball, the offense always goes on like a nice little spurt to get it back in the game. So I would like to see him more in like a bigger role where the offense, I don't say run through him, but he has a vital part of the offense besides just pick and roll between Harden and Embiid and then kick out to Maxey.
There's a lot of talk with Maxey that tends to like being an all-star this season. But if the offense do anything very hard, I just don't even see that as a possibility. He's not going to like get an opportunity to get those kind of numbers to make that team.
They got to figure it out. Because one thing I will say, the depth looks so much better, but they have to figure it out.
Yeah.
They just it's clear to me that they haven't figured it out yet. And plus, I'm still, that's another thing. I can see them making a move from like adding, like making a move, you know, after something goes on.
Oh, yeah.
Which they always kind of do, but.
I think they need a center. Like the second center, like
non-duo DBS. Yeah. Because you can't play Montrezl Harrell.
Montrezl Harrell can't play defense.
Yeah.
And if your two guards are Maxey and Harden, who also can't really play great defense, and then they'll be kind of bad in theory as well, you know, it's not a recipe for good defense. If it's Rachel and Dean, the people were saying they wanted to be like a top-ranked defense this season, which I haven't seen so far.
I think they have the pieces.
They have the pieces that they haven't.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I didn't mean to put it
that. Oh, no, you're good. I was going to ask a question. Do y'all think Doc Rivers is on the hot seat?
Yeah, 100%.
Yes. I think we all agree.
I think one thing we could say about Doc Rivers, even going back to his Clippers days, he is slow to make adjustments. It takes him so long to make an adjustment.
Last year, the DeAndre
Jordan. Yes, that's
him. It was just constantly perplexing. Like he really just like changed that. And thinking of, like, he was a very kind to do like a few things.
Yeah, it's but that's but that's what former players would say is changing. Like, he plays favorites and sticks to his guns, and that's the problem. But hey,
look at that.
All right, we get to the breakdown. This is a 90.7 to Captain.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And this is 9.7, the halftime on the stage. I'm going to go back to the student section. And we started off by talking about 1-0-2 team, the Philadelphia 76ers. Now it's time to get to the other 0-2 team, the Los Angeles Lakers. They've dropped two games now. It's been kind of, I would say it's as predicted. I don't think the bar was very high. For some reason, some ludicrous LA fans, as we know, there are many of them, for some reason might have thought that they would have been able to beat the Warriors. Different, you could say, the two best teams in the West, like Lakers and Boston.
Yeah. It's a tough week for the Lakers fans. I mean, the Yankees are losing. You got Alabama lost. It's a tough time. So Dallas Cowboys lost. So
miserable.
I feel bad for you, Lakers fans. But yeah, we all expect them to be horrible. And man, they definitely exceeded my expectations and how bad they are.
If you thought these Lakers, if you're a Lakers fan, and you thought these Lakers teams was going to be good, I got news for you. You're not a Lakers fan.
You don't want basketball.
Yeah. So this team, like you said, no one's surprised about this. They literally did not get like any better. They did not change anything. Like literally, all they added was Patrick Beverley.
Juan Toscano Anderson, who didn't play a lick for the Warriors. So.
And so, like, cool. You got Anthony.
Not cool.
You got Anthony Davis. He's like. It's still, like, not taking the next level, which we all expected. It's funny how, like, a couple of years ago, everyone thought he was going to be the guy. But he's going to be, like, the next impossible guy. Like, the most dominant player. And he's still just so passive. And now,
L.A.
Now, this is one of the things that's, like, I might get hate for this, but, like, when people make the big talk conversation, and people talk about, like, Michael, Kobe, and LeBron, and do you think Kobe or Michael would be tolerating this year after year after year?
No.
With Anthony Davis?
No.
No.
Especially with all his talent.
Neither of those guys were playing at this level of good point. Like, I feel like
that's true.
With Kobe, like, there was, like, 4 years, 5 years of those Lakers, but they were just awful.
Yeah, but even with him tearing his Achilles or not being his prime, when Dwight Howard was there, like, he...
It didn't work because
he knew how Dwight Howard was. He's like, Dwight Howard doesn't have that personality, which we all know now. Not a personality that can be pushed by someone like Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think LeBron's just very passive and he doesn't. Like, he's definitely talking. There's no way he's not talking to AD, but maybe he's going about it too passive. But that's my speculation. But they gotta figure something out because it's like, hey, LeBron can't be running this team now. Like, what? You're 20 in the league. Like, Anthony Davis, this is why you came to the Lakers. You wanted to be a Laker great. You're not, right, Laker?
You're not a great.
No one's going to think of you in a couple years as a great man. That's the way he's playing. I would go, like, if I'm Anthony Davis, I'm packing up and going to Chicago because you'd be more loved there, even if you guys don't win a championship, than you will ever be loved in LA. That's how hard I'm going to be.
I get that. I feel like Anthony Davis, how many times have we heard, I feel like Anthony Davis say that, like, he doesn't want to play center, and yet the Lakers, for some reason, just, like, don't bring centers for this team. Like the fact that Anthony Davis is center, but then there's, like, no other center, like, even getting minutes for this Lakers team. But I feel like a lot of it falls onto Rob Pelinka and, like, the construction of this roster. And this offseason, the Lakers extended Rob Pelinka as, like, the manager of basketball operations, which was mind-bending to me.
Especially when you have the owner coming out with rumors reporting that this might be pulling through last year, when she just extended him. So,
yeah.
It makes no sense to me. You're saying this roster, like, there's literally no center.
Okay, so
in the rotation.
There's one center, and he is injured, Thomas Bryant.
I know that, but if that's, like, if
that's your
if
center.
AD is saying he doesn't want to play center, and then the only other center you have is Thomas Bryant, who also doesn't really play defense very well and is a more offensive mind center. Like, what's the plan for, like, having a good team? You need to have big guys.
And I get that, and it is, don't let me sound like I'm not saying this. This is 100% Rob Pelinka's fault. Like, oh my God, this is 100% his fault. But I'm saying, without the pieces there, you gotta, like, as Shaq would say, you gotta man up. Man up? I see how. But I'm just saying, like, you have to leave, like, at least, I don't know, I'm at a loss for words because I'm just so, like,
I do think this roster build, like, build up, is part of LeBron's it's on LeBron's resume. It's his fault.
A little bit. Because I feel like a lot of it goes back to them losing the Russell Westbrook trade, which is a trade I think LeBron pushed for.
They had the trade for Buddy Hield already set in place.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically agreed upon. It was about to be done. And LeBron stepped in and said, no, I want Russell. And you see how that turned out. So you have...
Team would love Buddy Hield right now.
It would. They have no shooters.
I've been told, I haven't been told. I don't have sources like that. But I've been, I was reading that, so the offer for Buddy Hield and Miles Turner and something else is still on the table. But the Pacers aren't going to do that deal.
I'm talking about the old Pacers.
Right. They're not going to do a deal unless they get the 2 first-round picks. And LeBron's, with everything LeBron's been hinting at in the offseason, last year at the All-Star break, he's like, look at all these great teams around the league. They always go for it when they're in win-now mode. So he's like,
I know he's saying that, but the Lakers got to be a little cautious. You know, they're 2027 and 2029 picks. And 2029, that's about 7 years away.
So why?
LeBron, AD, they're not going to be on your team in 7 years if I was LeBron definitely is.
AD might be out of the league with injury concerns by that time, too.
LeBron has not retired in 7 years.
Someone needs to check up on him.
Someone needs to check and make sure he's not ailing. And if AD probably isn't healthy in 7 years, then you're risking it on a lottery team. You're trading picks that could be top 5 pick, which I can see why they'd be hesitant.
Can I tell you why I just not so much as worried about that? My opinion would be you have AD in LeBron. And why I say that is, you can trade Anthony Davis for anything. You really could. I think Anthony Davis is always going to have interest in because he's one of those players that's always going to draw interest.
There's going to be some interest, but
he's losing a lot of interest.
I think the stock has gone down because of the injury.
You're probably not going to pay like 5 first round picks as last time.
No.
But you're still probably going to at least give 1 or 2, possibly.
One or two.
Especially if he bounces back and has a good year. But also, LeBron, you just signed an extension, I think, for 2 or 3 more years. His son's going to probably be in the league before that.
I think he's under contract for 2 more years, and then the 3rd year is a player option. But that 3rd year is the year Bronny comes to lead.
So right.
He can decline the option and then go join Bronny, whoever he's drafted.
So the thing I like about that, you said Lakers, they are not going to have LeBron or AD, but you got to think about it. LA is one of the biggest markets
exactly
there is.
Too.
So
they're
most likely going to have a star or some stars.
They never really fully rebuilt.
There were some dark years between the Kobe era and LeBron got there.
But they still had a couple stars.
They had some young guys, but they were not a good team for I'd say 4 or 5 years.
It went bad with Dwight Howard, and we met last year when Dwight Howard was there, and then he left, and then they made the playoffs and got swept by the Spurs and Kevin Torres and Achilles, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then ever since then, it was down bad. But you still had top draft pick, and all those draft picks that they had became an all-star. Believe it or not, D'Angelo Russell was an all-star. Brandon Ingram was an all-star. Julius Randle was an all-star. So, and then before that even happened, you even let them develop. They just traded them for Anthony Davis, and you got LeBron.
A lot of those locker room stuff, D'Angelo Russell,
That I understand.
Russell had to have security because no one trusts him anymore.
I understand.
They definitely hit on some of those picks, but they're just didn't. If you had pick right now, would you rather be the Pelicans who hook on the Lakers players and dealt them for smaller things and built a team? Or would you rather be the Lakers if they just
Pelicans 1,000%.
1,000%.
I can't say that because the Lakers won the championship. Even though it was the bubble, they still won the championship. And as long as if you get a championship, then you win, in my opinion.
I get that.
So I can't discredit them for that. I think maybe they did overpay, but they wanted Anthony Davis, and the Pelicans had the leverage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's unfortunate for them, but I think what really the mistake was DeMar DeRozan came out on the podcast and he said the deal was done to go to LA.
He thought he was going to LA.
Yes. So, and then something, I think LeBron,
Russell Westbrook.
Yep, something with LeBron, Russell Westbrook got to talk to him. He came over to meet LeBron and AD at LeBron's house, and I think LeBron. Or something happened.
Something happened, I know that.
They got a communication with something. Yeah. And then that's when they went to Russell Westbrook too.
Because it was I remember, this was a podcast, right?
Yes,
DeMar basically said that he was ready to go to LA, and then he gets the alert on his phone that Russell's been traded to negative, and he thinks to himself, how am I going to work for the decade?
Yeah, exactly.
And then he ended up going into the Lakers without turning in. But
Three years.
You think about, like, so they could have kept, like, Kyle Kuzma, KCP,
B.I.
Russ. Kuzma, KCP. I was thinking about that too. It might have been those two. I can't remember exactly. But those two players are, like, good players. And then just add DeMar to that. Because you want to make it Russ pretty much. You keep those two players.
No Wagner.
And then you throw DeMar. And then, like, all of a sudden, it's like, that's such a better team. Because you gave up DeMar DeRozan, like, if you, like, look at that trade, like, the win-loss, if you add, like, DeMar DeRozan into the trade away, because basically you gave him up to bring Russ in, that trade looks 10 times worse now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And, like, I don't know. Clippers, just, sorry, LA, there's a new sheriff in town. Clippers are here. Kawhi's healthy. He's coming off the bench, taking it easy, just cruising. He's waiting for the playoffs, and then he's going to turn on that Terminator mode. And then, like, yeah. So, Clippers are going to take over.
Yeah.
In LA.
I don't get why the Clippers brought Kawhi off the bench. I get limiting his minutes, but yeah, I get that. I'd rather him come off warm instead of coming off the bench cold. Keep his body going. Don't let his legs lock up like that. And I don't know. I'd rather you just have a minute restriction instead of him coming.
I mean, yeah, I agree with you.
I think the mentality was, like, if you're going to play bench minutes, then, like, kind of play in the bench roles. Like, that's like how it lines up with, like, the rotation.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
Because they're like, players like Kawhi don't care until the playoffs. They just need to go out and do it. Then it's the job.
And this group is, like, equipped to let him do that, because they're such a deep team.
Yeah, this team is going to be
really good. You're trying to walk off the bench. That's crazy. He might be 6 million. Like, that's what I would make him 6 million.
They're saying that John Wall, like, it's not decided, like, fully that John Wall is the best person. I guess he's dealing with some injuries.
Okay.
Why he was on, like, a minute restriction. But he had a quote after the game and saying how him and Kawhi were, like, on minute restrictions. So, like, he could step into, like, a Jackson's role. But, like, John Wall, that explosive first step, it looked like it was still there. It looked like it was from Washington.
This is the first time, according to John Wall, this is the first time he's been happy. I mean, not happy. This is the first time he's been healthy physically and mentally in a long time.
Yeah, he had a rough stretch.
I'm happy. I'm sort of reading his stories about how he's, like, 2 years he was going through rehab. I think his mother passed away in that time. And I talk about how he was in dark place. It's so nice to see him, like, smiling on the court. I think he, like, it seems like he loves it, particularly as a
team. Yeah, he loves the culture and, like, the people who are around. And that's what you want in a work environment. So, like you said, it's just good to see him back out there. But, my question for you guys before you get out of here is, we were having a conversation earlier, and you guys don't believe there's any suitors or any team that would be interested in Russell Westbrook.
No.
I was going to say no, because before you'd say, oh, star power, so he might get the seats filled or whatever, you know, he's going to bring in the money. He's not good for the team, for the locker room, or for anything, but he'll bring in the money. If you look at it now, I mean, he's one of the biggest losers in the NBA. Not like loser, but, like, he can't find a way to win. So
he's not willing to change, like, to adapt to help the team win.
He's going to play his game. You look at last night, 0-11, a few points.
And then in the post-game interview, Russell Westbrook, a reporter asked him how he thought he played tonight. He said he thought he played pretty good. Pretty good. I thought he hustled out there. He got 0-11 and kind of had, like...
He's trolling because he wants to be out of there.
Yeah.
I think they don't want him there, and he doesn't want to be there, and it's evident.
But it's so evident that if there was a suitor for him, it's
kind of hurting his value.
It would have happened. Like, in my mind, if you are a bad team, why would you play Russell Westbrook? Because then you can put Westbrook young players, and then you want to lead games. Granted, Russell Westbrook looks like he can help a team lose games.
Well, that's the thing. It would have to be a team that's fine. Well, it's either, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, if you're bad, you're not going to be, you can't be terrible. It would have to be a team that's, like, on friend for being bad, but, like, wants, because if you're bad, you're not going to get the Wambabada. Yeah, I can't say his last name.
Wambayama.
Wambu? I'm sorry, excuse me. Sorry, Victor.
The French guy.
Yeah, the French guy. The French kid. Yeah, him. Yeah. But anyway, you know, no bad teams are going to try to...
There's one team that I see it could possibly happen, and that's him going back to the Wizards. Because I feel like Bradley Beal has defended Russ a lot. He talked about how he likes Russ. They are that French team where they don't really have, like, a great point guard next to Bradley Beal. That's, like, the only team I see.
I'm gonna give you one more. I'm gonna say, just because it's the most, like, of course this team would do it, and like it makes no sense, and that's why I say this team's gonna do it. It's either gonna be the Knicks, or it's gonna be the Charlotte Hornets. Michael Jordan's gonna come out of nowhere and send four first round picks for Jordan Brand player, and be like, let's get you back on top. I got you, King.
It's bad for the NBA with him being this bad. Indeed.
Unfortunately, we have to end tonight with the 90.7 of Capstone, and this has been with you.
Adios, peace and
good. Have a good one.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.